And this hour, waiting patiently to quit blabbering, is Dr. Berge, Blue Cross Vet. Thanks for being here.
Oh, good morning. Good to be here.
What have you been up to, man? Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. What have I been? You know, kind of taking it easy. A little grumbling. I should probably make an announcement. The telephone for Blue Cross Vet Clinic has been down for 2 days.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and CenturyLink still has not deigned to come and fix it.
Huh. Okay. Man.
Yeah, so I'm not happy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either.
Boy, you know, every business, and particularly like a veterinary clinic, the telephone is the lifeblood. And when people
yes.
call and they get, what they're getting is a ringing, as if we can't be bothered to answer the phone.
Oh, boy.
But we can't answer the phone because the wire was blown down by the wind and nobody has soldered it back in place again.
Hmm. Too bad you couldn't find where it was yourself and just go do it.
I'm tempted.
Yeah?
I was told that, you know, you're not supposed to do that.
Right.
Flagrantly illegal and you might electrocute yourself. But mm-hmm. aside from that, sure, I'll do it.
Are there other ways to contact your shop other than just stopping in?
Yeah, stop in. I would be happy to chat with you.
Yeah.
Our credit card's machine is also down.
Oh, boy.
So you better bring some cash with you.
Right.
But if you show up on the premises, yeah, we'll serve you. We're happy to serve you.
Okay.
And I would really like CenturyLink to come and do their job.
Right. Well, the number to talk to Dr. Berge this morning and maybe get some free vet advice for your pet.
Right.
360-533-5259. That's 5259. You can email or text message. It's johnny@jodesha.com. And hopefully he can answer. Okay, worms. Let's talk
worms.
Let's talk
sure.
worms.
We talk about worms a lot.
Not the like worms that you catch to go fishing.
No, because those are brown worms, but we're talking about white worms.
White worms.
Most parasites are white.
Okay. So
sometimes they're kind of red. Like hookworms are red because of all the blood that they sucked out of your body.
Ew.
But anyway, so.
And then there's ringworm.
Right.
Right.
Ringworm is not a worm at all. Ringworm is exactly the same as athlete's foot, which is a fungus living in your body.
Oh.
And for some reason, sometimes they call it athlete's foot. Well, if it's on your feet, they call it athlete's foot. And if it's elsewhere on your body, the exact same infection is called ringworm for humans. And then the terms are often used as the same for dogs and cats. So mm-hmm. dogs and cats can get yeast infection and fungal infections, which are not quite the same thing,
mm-hmm.
even though you treat them with the same medicine. So whatever medicine kills ringworm will also kill a fungus infection, a yeast infection. Ringworm is a fungus infection,
mm-hmm.
but the medicine for that will also kill a yeast infection.
Now, I wouldn't expect you to know this, but any idea where we came up with the whole ringworm name for it?
Well, the sores on your skin are often in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a ring sore. Although if you see a ring-shaped sore on your skin or your dog's skin, it may not actually be a fungus. It could also be a staph infection.
Mm.
Anyway, the fungus infections often form a little bullseye. And that's where they got the ring. As for the worm, no one's really sure about that.
Yeah. Just kind of sounded nice.
Yeah.
Well, let's call it ring. How about ringworm?
Yeah, right.
Okay. What are common ways that your pets can get worms?
Okay. There are lots of different types of worms. You know, in mm-hmm. vet school, that's like a whole year learning all the different parasites that can live in your body.
Mm-hmm.
The worms, you normally divide them into two groups.
Mm-hmm.
There's the tapeworms and the roundworms. The tapeworms, there are lots of different species of tapeworms, but the one we see for pets most often is a small one that's carried by fleas.
Oh.
So if your cat goes out and a flea jumps onto him, and if that flea happens to have a baby tapeworm inside of it, your cat feels the tickle, whips around, kills the flea, and swallows it. Now, the flea is dead, but it had a live tapeworm inside of it. The tapeworm pops out, bites onto the wall of the cat's intestines, and takes up residence there for the rest of its life. And so the tapeworm looks like a string of sausages. On one end is a kind of a fish hook that stabs into the flesh of the cat and won't let go, cannot let go.
Mm-hmm.
The other end is that chain of sausage links, each one getting a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And the one on the far end, the furthest away from the fish hook, gets pretty big, and eventually it loosens on purpose and is swept out and pooped out by the cat.
Mm-hmm.
And that link is, for that particular tapeworm, is about the size of a rice grain.
Okay.
And that's the tapeworm. The tapeworm itself is much bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. but it breaks off one piece at a time, and all you see are those little pieces.
Ah,
so if you say, oh, my cat has those little maggoty things in its poop, that means your cat has a
ringworm. It's like rice or something, right?
And often you'll see them in a dried form. Mm-hmm. They come out wet and moving. They kind of wiggle. Really disgusting.
Right.
But a lot of times they'll get stuck to the fur on the cat, or they'll fall off onto the carpet. And then they dry up, and they look exactly like a little sesame seed when they're dried.
Oh, okay.
So if you see things like dried sesame seeds on the cat's butt,
Or laying around where the cat sleeps something.
That's also a sign your cat may have tapeworms.
Oh, I'll never look at sausage again like the same way.
Well, anyway, and of course humans can get tapeworms, a different tapeworm.
It's different?
Yeah,
it's a different...
lots of different tapeworms. Okay. But the one that I deal with most often is carried by fleas. The ones that we talk about for humans all the time, you eat some meat eat some undercooked meat, and that meat might have a little little cyst, a little baby tapeworm inside of it. The old term for that was a measle, a little lump. And so when somebody says measly beef, they mean that the beef has these little baby tapeworms inside of it.
Ew.
So that's where the word measly came from. So if you eat anything that's cooked, you won't catch any parasites from it. But if you eat some rare meat, and it has baby tapeworms inside of it, then you can have a tapeworm,
too. I don't think I'll ever have medium rare again.
Well, I eat rare all the time. I'll take my chances. it's easy to kill these parasites, by the way. You just go to the vet and get some medicine.
Dr. Berge from Blue Cross Vet is in the studio answering any questions you may have for your pet at 360-533-5259. We've been talking about worms. Our pets get worms, right?
And I was just kind of finishing up on tapeworms. There are lots of different types of tapeworms. The one we see most often is carried by fleas. You just need to get some medicine. That will kill the tapeworms that are in your dog or cat. And then you need to kill all those fleas, too.
Right.
Because each time the cat feels a tickle and goes and tries to catch a flea, it will kill it if it can. And the flea might have a tapeworm inside of it, but mostly you just don't want those fleas.
Right.
And dogs can get them too, but mostly we see that in cats.
Okay, but it is possible for dogs, though.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They get them from fleas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the same tapeworm will also live in a dog. And it's possible, I have not personally tested it, that if I ate a flea, I might be able to get that tapeworm too.
Really?
Yes. Wow. But I refuse to test this theory.
Who wants to test that one? Is the medicine for the tapeworm spendy?
Not horribly. It's a little bit on the spendy side. And by the way, that's one of the things where you actually can get some pretty good medicine from the feed stores.
Oh, feed store.
Yeah,
okay.
The feed stores have a hard job. You know, they know what they want, but they're not allowed to buy some of the best stuff.
Oh man.
So that's just, so they can't really get good flea medicine, but they can get nice worm medicine.
Hmm.
And of course, all the foods and things like that.
God, you would think that if they could get one, if they can get medicine, they could just get medicine.
It's a turf war thing. As a veterinarian, I get certain privileges, like protection. Mm-hmm. Are you trying to work on the phone there?
I was.
Okay, but... anyway. As a veterinarian or a physician or whatever, you can have access to products that are not available without a prescription.
Mm-hmm.
So as a veterinarian, I can write a prescription. A physician can also write a prescription. Mm-hmm. And some of those best products are prescription-only products. And that just has to do with the legacy of how the law was established.
Mm.
Like, for instance, if a urinary diet, if your cat or dog has problems with crystals forming in the bladder, they need to have a urinary diet. So you can have a prescription version of the urinary diet, or you can have the exact same diet with a different label by the same company, and it's not prescription.
Hmm.
So it's a weird marketing thing. So I'm Purina company. I put some food into two different bags with two different labels.
Mm-hmm.
The one with the label says prescription only is prescription only, and the same food in a bag with a different label is open to the public.
Wow. That's amazing.
But then other things like antibiotics, those are just plain prescription only.
Now, do you fill those out yourself, or do you just write the prescription and then they just, where do you
take it? We can go either way.
Yeah.
Most veterinarians process a lot of the prescriptions themselves in-house, which is convenient for everybody. Because you go in and you say, okay, I don't you know, yes, I want the medicine.
Yeah.
I don't really need to go and find a pharmacy and get them to count it out for me and get them to tell, oh, they don't have that particular brand.
Can regular pharmacies, you know, distribute that stuff?
Yeah. And anything, if you have a prescription, whether from a veterinarian or a physician, your pharmacy may already have that product on their shelves. Hmm. But if they don't, they can order it and normally get it within a day or two.
Right.
And then they'll provide it for you.
Hmm. Okay. So worms from fleas.
Yes. Oh, so that's the tapeworms from the fleas.
Yeah.
But then there's lots of other worms, too. There's the hookworms. Those are little worms that suck blood and can actually kill you.
And your pet?
Or your pet, yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes a pet can have so many parasites that they can actually die from them.
Where do they get hookworms, or where can they get those?
Now, humans get hookworms. We can actually get it through the skin of our feet.
Hmm.
And pets can also get one of the species of hookworms that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the worms, the roundworms, you get by poking your nose into the dirt and swallowing some eggs, and then the eggs hatch out.
Ew.
And like the roundworms, which is the number one worm, that's the puppy worm that you say, I've got a puppy, I need to worm my puppy.
Yeah.
Those are roundworms, and their eggs can live for 4 years in the dirt.
Wow. And that's just from the puppy eating the dirt?
Yeah, just, you know, dogs and any animal puts their nose in the dirt to snuffle things up, and they'll inhale some eggs, and then when they're young, their immune system is not very strong, and those worms can get into a population explosion.
Hmm.
As the dog is more older, they'll still inhale worm eggs on a regular basis, but their immune system tends to get rid of them.
Okay, man, you're describing some horrific things right out in my yard.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, the world is kind of horrific.
Okay, what are some other problems that we can get, like, you know, worms and things?
Well, you know, parasites are a big deal. Mm-hmm. I just was telling you about fleas. Everybody wants to get rid of fleas. And it's not okay to say, oh, my pet just has a couple of fleas. That's not actually okay as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Zero fleas is okay. And so a lot of the fleas are resistant to stuff. Things like Advantage, which I really I stood behind that for over 20 years.
They became immune to it, right?
Yeah, and it's not Advantage's problem. It's just the fleas got stronger.
Right.
In the same way that diseases get resistant to antibiotic, parasites can get resistant to pesticides.
Yeah.
And that's true for fleas, and it's also true for the farmers. You know, whatever they're trying to kill gets stronger every year.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the answer to that is to put more poison into the land.
Right.
You know, and of course, you know, I do approve of organic farming techniques, but I also understand that sometimes you have to do what you have to do.
Right, right. Well, you know, you're compassionate to people, right?
Right, yeah. Anyway, so that's parasites. There's another parasite that is kind of not appreciated as much as it should be, and that's mange.
Oh, yeah.
When I was in vet school, there are two types of mange. There's a sarcoptic mange that comes in like a lightning bolt, and your dog is fine, and then it gets rapidly really, really itchy. The hair falls out and stuff. That's sarcoptic mange. And then there's another one, a much more common mange, called demodectic mange.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in vet school, they said, well, over 90% of the dogs and cats have demodectic mange, but it's not really important because it just lives in the hair follicles and doesn't really do a lot of harm, except now and then for certain individual dogs. And cats, too, but it's more of a dog thing.
Mm-hmm.
I no longer feel that way. I feel that demodectic mange, yes, it does affect at least 90% of the dogs, but I don't think it's so benign. I think it does kind of put them on edge. And if you can get rid of that, which is easy to do with modern meds, your dog's fur will be a lot healthier. So you should use a product like a Bravecto or NexGard that kills demodectic mange. Use that for your fleas, and you'll get rid of your demodectic mange over time, too.
Seems like I've seen dogs a lot recently for the last, I don't know, 10, 20 years that, like, and maybe it's been going on longer than this, down like by their rump where their back and their tail meet, they get, like, really bad skin, and they're chewing there. Is that from fleas? Is that from
Well, it's allergy. When they're allergic, that's the area that they chew at the most.
Okay.
Usually, if you look closer at that same dog, you'll find that the skin is kind of nasty in other places, too.
Yeah.
But the worst spot is often on the rump.
Because they can reach it.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, if they have fleas, we blame it on the fleas. But some dogs will have these itching problems even if they don't have fleas.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's allergies?
Yeah. But if there are fleas, we call it a flea allergy. Mm-hmm. But it could also be a food allergy. They could be allergic to the mold spores in this climate zone.
The detergent you use for its little bed and blanket?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Now, one of my pet peeves is we humans use way too much of these toxic perfumes, mm-hmm. in the dryer sheets and stuff. These are not good for you. Mm-hmm. You know, sure, they anesthetize your nose so you can't smell bad smells. Mm-hmm. But they didn't make the smells go away. They just damaged your smelling capacity, so you don't notice them anymore.
Right.
So you don't need to have that toxic stuff. Just clean your clothing. Don't perfume it.
Well, with a washboard and everything?
No, I think you can use a washing machine.
Okay. Have you found any, like, laundry detergents that are more irritant to the animals that you're seeing, like Tide or whatever?
Well, I can't really give you the name of products, not because I refuse to, but I just don't know.
Right.
But I kind of blame it more on the perfumes than anything else.
Mm.
They just, some of these perfumes are definitely allergic. Call it, you know, sensitizing agents is the proper word.
Sensitizing agents. Okay. I'm writing this stuff down. any other common little critters that infest our fine furry friends?
Well, you know, we've got your fleas and your demodectic mange. Fortunately, here in Aberdeen, we don't really have a lot of problems with ticks.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we'll have ticks, usually for cats, and usually if you're in an area where the deer are wandering by, the deer will sometimes drop ticks.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see them sometimes on your dog, but mostly on your cat, you'll see ticks. And when that happens, well, pick them off. And, of course, by the way, I wanted your cat to be on Bravecto, which kills ticks anyways.
Oh, yeah.
So you wouldn't have to worry about that.
Is there a way to just, like, not have to have your cats on and dogs on medications?
Well, for parasites, particularly for fleas, no. Mm-hmm. My feeling is just do it.
Yeah?
They'll be a lot healthier for it.
Okay.
Now, everybody's afraid of toxic things, and, you know, I understand that. You know, I spend a lot of money for organic food when I can.
Right.
So, you know, I do take it seriously, but as a veterinarian, I see far more harm from animals that are not getting medicine than mm-hmm. from animals that are getting reactions to medicine.
We're here with Dr. Berge, Dr. Michael Berge of Blue Cross Vet, and answering any questions you may have about your dogs, your cats, no iguanas.
Well, I'll talk about iguanas.
Yeah.
I don't actually take money for any, you know, anything besides a dog and a cat, really.
Yeah.
And the reason I don't is not because I don't like them, mm-hmm. but because I feel like I'm stealing your money. Because you bring in these animals and they die, and, oh, that'll be $50.
Right. Because usually if it gets to a point where you're taking them to the vet, it's kind of too late.
Yeah, but you can, if you check around, you can find other veterinarians who'll take that on.
It's Local Matters. You are on the air.
Yeah, I got a question about I got a purebred German Shepherd. She's about 3 years old, female.
Uh-huh.
And she does have a flea allergy. When I took her to the vet, so they were giving her those ingestible flea medication to prevent fleas.
Okay.
But I heard in that case that pill just kills the flea after the pet has been bitten, not prevents the flea from actually biting the dog.
Now, that actually is a pretty blatant. I hear that. Yes, I've heard that. But I do not agree with that statement. That is a corporate marketing ploy. If you kill some products work this way and some products work that way. It's just trying to, like, selling a aftermarket for your truck or something. They're making stuff up.
Well, if it doesn't work. Right. Anyway, in that case, it was, well, if I have to give her the flea pill and the flea bites her and she still has an allergic reaction, she has a severe skin reaction when she gets bitten by a flea, and I have to treat that. I tried to ask them if they could prescribe me an antibiotic or something after the fact so I could treat the dog. Well, no, they just wanted me to bring her in to get treated after she was bitten from a flea.
Okay, so the first question I have, I don't know if you can answer it right now, is do you know the name of the flea product?
It was the large white swallowable pill.
Okay, and it's expensive?
It wasn't cheap.
Okay, if it's one of any of the super expensive products, they all work pretty well. Do you see any fleas anymore?
We rarely have fleas at all. We have hardwood floors and sandy soil, so they're rarely around our property. But I just went ahead and got an expensive flea collar, and it seems to be working a lot better than the ingestible medication that I have to buy every month for her.
Right. Now, the main thing is, if your cat, if your dog, excuse me, your German Shepherd dog, I did listen to you, if your dog is itchy, it does need to be seen. And none of us veterinarians can really help you without bringing the dog in. Now, you will get different types of care depending on which clinic you go to. I'm kind of a Dr. Feel-Good thing. I give lots of medicine to make your dog feel better. Others say, well, tough.
I've been to two different facilities, and they both wanted to do the same thing. And I'm more of a natural, you know, if I can protect her skin and give her healthy skin.
So bottom line is your dog probably is allergic to fleas, but it's probably also allergic to other stuff, too. And it needs something or other to get it comfortable.
Gotcha. Okay, no, that was my question. I thank you very much.
All right, thanks for the call.
The number is 360-533-5259. Email or text johnny@jodesha.com. That's Johnny with an H, J-O-H-N-N-Y, @jodesha.com. And let's see, mud puddles. Can they get, you know, the dogs like to... You're taking for a walk, and there's this big, dirty, cloudy, muddy mud puddle, and can they get things out of that?
Well, there's no relationship with how muddy the puddle is and how toxic it is.
Okay.
And, you know, some of the nastiest, brownest puddles are actually, in fact, the dirt actually kills a lot of those parasites.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
But any form of natural water can carry certain parasites, and particularly leptospirosis. Leptospirosis is not a parasite. It's a bacteria. There are thousands of different species. My current vaccination protocol includes four different types of leptospirosis, which is the most complete I can buy. But your dog, definitely you want to get some leptospirosis vaccination for it, because sometimes those puddles do have diseases in them. And they can have other things, salmonella and stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly your dog picks up an immunity, and it's really not that big a deal.
All right. It's 20 minutes till. And we have about 20 minutes left with the good doctor. So if you have a pet question, give us a ring or a text. Shoot us an email. Many ways to get a hold of us here.
You bet.
Did you have something? I didn't want to interrupt you.
Oh, no. I was kind of finishing up on... Well, I was mostly finished on the muddy puddles, but there's more to that. You know, if you go drink from a puddle... You might get sick and you might not.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing is true for a dog or a cat or anything else. Maybe there are things that can affect you, maybe there won't. But there is a tendency, once you've gotten sick from that you will kind of have an immunity and you can drink from that same puddle again.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to a foreign country and drink from the puddles there, you would have more issues. You'd have to build up a new immunity.
Okay.
So that's where the term don't drink the water comes from. There, many times you can have a water that all the local people drink, and it's really nothing the matter with it, but you're not used to it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you hear that, that phrase. Oh, okay. I just thought it was bad water, but it's not. It's just you're not used to it.
Yeah. Or it could be bad water. You know, some water systems are really not that great.
Yeah.
Here in America, most of the water systems are pretty good, certainly in terms of diseases. You know, there's some aquifers have toxins in them, arsenic and lead and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those aquifers are shut down, so they can't. You're not allowed to get drinking water from them. Other jurisdictions, they say, oh, well, we've been drinking from it for the last 150 years. Mm-hmm. Quit your belly aching. A lot of these laws are kind of local.
Yeah. So when it comes to feeding your dog or cat, is it, as a vet, feed them whenever they're hungry, or you should have a feeding time and have a limited amount of food so they don't just keep eating and keep eating and keep eating and keep eating and keeping that dog dish filled at all times?
My answer to that question would be that for both dogs and cats, it's probably not a good idea to have the ever full food bowl.
Okay.
Certainly not for dogs.
Yeah.
Because they
don't keep eating.
Yeah. They get bored.
Yeah.
It's just like if you have a bowl of peanuts on the counter and you chow down, well, you're going to notice it.
Mm-hmm.
So for both dogs and cats, you as a human being, need to choose how much food they're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when during the course of 24 hours, whether they get it all in one lump or doled out a little bit at a time, really doesn't make any difference.
Oh, okay.
But the number of calories per 24-hour period does make a difference. And the basic rule is if your dog is fat, you feed it less.
Yeah.
If it's skinny, you feed it more. Or maybe get some parasite medicine
for
it.
See, my mom has this tendency to overfeed her cat, for example. And her cat is as round as a basketball. And I keep telling her, you know, cut back on the food. But she's hungry.
Right. Well, that's one story I get. About 90% of my patients are overweight.
Yeah.
That's one story. They're hungry. I can't say no. And I can actually kind of accept that statement.
Mm-hmm.
What I get a little cranky with is, okay, your cat's fat. Well, I'm following the food bag. Your cat's fat. Feed it less. But the food bag says.
Yeah.
I say ignore the food bag. Your cat is fat. Feed it less. And sometimes they listen. Sometimes they don't.
Right. Kind of like kids. Sometimes they listen and sometimes they don't. And we've talked about the food, the right food. It's not necessarily the more expensive food.
Well, yes. What the deal is with food is every company, all the dog food companies, know exactly how to make good food. Some of them choose to use substandard ingredients, which I really don't like.
Right.
And that's a bad food. But the only way you can tell, you can't tell by reading the label. If it says meat meal, the horrible meat meal just says meat meal, and the premium meat meal just says meat meal on the label. There's no law that says they have to say, 50% horrible meat meal, 10% premium meat meal.
Yeah.
It's just meat meal. So you have to trust the reputation of the company. And the only way you can really do that is to maybe get a more expensive food.
Mm-hmm.
But there are foods that are not so expensive that are high quality. Now, I used to say the Costco Kirtland brand, and I still support that brand. But now and then I will get Costco products that are not really top snuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
It used to be that if the Costco put their store brand on something, you could be confident that it was a really good value. Now I'm not always so sure.
Okay. Any other brands that are okay, in your opinion?
No, just kind of go for the premium brands.
Yeah.
And remember, there's no secret to making good dog food.
Could you make it yourself?
Yeah. A lot of people make their own dog food. In fact, I did myself for many years.
How do you do that?
You get a recipe and you boil up some food and some starch, you know, basically some meat or meat products and some rice and add some vegetables, beans and so forth, some vitamins, and that's your dog food.
You just put it in a blender?
No, just feed it chunky.
Yeah. Just like scraps, kind
of? Yeah.
Okay.
So it's kind of like leftovers, but you make a big pot, you know, once a day or once every 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
And put it in the refrigerator, and then at mealtime you dole it out to your pets.
Some of our pets like raw, like vegetables. Is that okay?
You bet. The only thing that's dangerous for them is rhubarb. But rhubarb doesn't really taste good for pets, so they don't naturally eat it. The only way that it would be a risk for you is if you have a rhubarb pie with a lot of sugar in it, and your dog really likes sweet things, then the dog might eat the rhubarb filling of the pie just because it has so much sugar in it. And that could be toxic for them.
Oh, it's toxic?
Yeah. It contains a lot of oxalic acid. Okay. Now, oxalic acid is also found in spinach, and if you get on the Internet, spinach will kill the dog. Well, the Internet is full of things that are going to kill you.
Yeah.
But mostly that's not of the quantity to really be that dangerous. But at any rate, and anything with oxalic acid is toxic to pretty much every animal on the planet except human beings and the other primates.
Wow.
We're immune.
Yeah.
It's our monkey ancestry.
Wow. That's interesting.
By the way, if you think, dogs are honest, no, they lie all the time.
Do they?
Yeah, and cats too.
Yeah. On the couch.
No, but they as in fibbing, deliberately trying to fool you.
Okay, how so?
They'll say, I'm hungry, or this, you know, I'm sure all of our listeners can tell a story about lying like a dog, even if it's a cat.
Yeah.
Because they do it.
Right.
You don't have to be smart to lie.
I've heard that before.
You have to be smart to keep your lies straight.
Right. So, where did we leave off? We were talking about pet food.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about oxalic acid.
Yeah.
So if you go into the internet and check oxalic acid, you know, danger from oxalic acid, you'll get all sorts of stuff. The bottom line is oxalic acid, we humans can digest it, no big deal. Mm-hmm. Pretty much every other, and the primates, all the primates can digest it. But most other animals, if they ingest oxalic acid, it's taken in by the kidneys and can cause a lethal kidney failure in a few hours sometimes, depending on the dosage.
Now, you mentioned like raw spinach.
It doesn't matter whether it's raw or cooked.
Oh, okay, just spinach. What about like lettuce and things like that?
Lettuce is okay.
Okay.
And so spinach has a little bit, but not really to the level that people are going on about.
Oh, okay.
But you know, if you made a big spinach quiche with lots of cheese in it and fed it to your dog, I would be concerned as a veterinarian.
Quiche,
because there might be enough oxalic acid to be dangerous.
It's Local Matters. You are on the air.
Morning, Johnny.
Morning,
Doctor.
Good morning.
I have a question for you. You did not do this, but I took my cat up to the vet yesterday. And they gave it a shot, and the name of the shot is F like Frank, V like Victor, R like R, P like Paul. It's every 2 years.
FVRP.
Okay, yes, that's a vaccination, and yes, that's a worthwhile vaccination. What was your question about it? What does it do?
Well, 2 years ago when she had it, she couldn't walk for 2 days.
Okay.
And now she has, I brought her home from the vet yesterday, and she's gone to her hidey hole, has not eaten, has not used the litter box, it's an indoor cat, and I look at it, it's just staring at me. So is this something, should I take her back to the vet?
That's definitely a vaccination reaction, which we get now and then. And I would definitely give a call to the vet and explain your concerns, and then they will tell you either to come back or they might just guide you over the telephone. I don't want to put words in their mouth. Most vaccination reactions just go away on their own. But over the telephone, and particularly, you know, on the radio, I have to be careful about giving you official medical advice, because that can get me into trouble. But the bottom line is you definitely need to communicate with your veterinarian and then kind of follow their lead on it. But the bottom line about vaccination reactions is most of them, you just ignore it and it goes away. But now and then you'll get one that can be more dangerous.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
You bet. And thanks for the call on that.
Yeah, good luck. It's 8 minutes till, and the number is 360-533-5259. Email or text johnny@jodesha.com. Furballs.
Oh, okay.
Any way to prevent? I mean, it's so gross when they're hacking one up and they hack it on the carpet. You want to take them outside, so they'll hack it outside. But
some cats can spend their whole life without ever coughing up a fur ball.
Yeah.
Because most of the time you never see it because it goes out the other end. And
okay.
They'll have some poop, and if you look at it closely and poke it with a stick, you'll find there's a whole lot of fur with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the fur usually goes. But now and then it will form a little lump that then causes queasiness, and the cat will irp it up.
Right.
Both dogs and cats have the ability, when they eat stuff and it's sitting in their stomach and not being digested, eventually they'll get queasy and irp it up again, and particularly for dogs. But anyway, it's from their carnivore ancestry. Mm-hmm. When you go to the kill, you just put stuff in your mouth, crunch it, jam it down, and then most of the time your stomach acids will deal with it. But now and then you'll get something like a piece of hoof or something that just doesn't really go down. You don't want it to go through the pyloric valve because that could be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So it sits in the stomach often for days, and then eventually your stomach gets disgusted and says, okay, I'm not going to deal with this anymore.
I got a text that says one of our cats has exactly that same reaction to that same vaccine. We have to get it in two separate shots about a week apart. Then her reaction is not so severe.
So yeah. And
can you do that?
Well, I might not be able to split them because I buy those vaccines as a bundled vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
But the basic concept, it can be done that way.
Okay. Can you set the story straight here when your dog is out in the yard and eats grass? Now, I've heard that when a dog's eating grass, it has a stomach ache and it's I don't know.
Okay. The bottom line is if your dog's eating grass or anything else, it's eating it because it likes it.
Okay.
It's a kind of a rough salad.
It's not some... He's got a stomach ache. And
no, it's
that's
eating
why.
It because it likes it. Okay. Now, some dogs like these things, some don't. Mm-hmm. In a lawn or grass out in the field, the grass does not all taste the same.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's kind of sour, some of it's kind of sweet. Sometimes there's even a little bit of a garlic flavor to it.
Oh, wow.
And they like it. And many times, particularly dogs, will also dig in and eat some of the roots beneath, just a half an inch beneath the surface. They'll scratch with their foot and eat some stuff.
Is that why they're digging?
Yeah. Sometimes they're eating the roots from the grass and the weeds. Other times they're digging up like crane fly larvae. Some dogs really like those.
How would they know that they're crane fly larvae down there?
Well, basically you just scratch, and if it wiggles, you eat it.
If it wiggles. It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Yes. I was wondering, you never addressed what kind of a shot is that.
Okay.
I just had my cat vaccinated, and I didn't want it, and they said by law it had to have it.
Okay, here's what the only vaccine that's required by law is the rabies vaccination. And that rabies is never abbreviated.
Right.
They just call it rabies. But there are other additional vaccines. One of them that he was talking on the line was the FVRCP, which is F is for feline and the V is for vinyl. And then RCP is a rhinotracheitis, calicivirus, and panleukopenia, which are different diseases. They are not legally required.
Right.
They are useful for the cat. They do promote the health, but every vaccine can have a reaction sometimes.
Even with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think with an indoor cat that is worth having? And it's only one cat?
It's definitely a lower risk. And it's very appropriate for you to tell the veterinarian that you don't feel that vaccine is needed. And as a veterinarian, as a veterinarian, my answer is okay, not a problem. But the rabies is actually legally required, and that's because it's a public health issue.
Well, that I understood, so I got that. Okay. Well, thank you for your information. I really appreciate it when you're on the air.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for the call.
360-533-5259. We have about 3 more minutes left. We could get another question answered in 3 minutes, don't you think?
If you've got one on the email.
Right. I'll check that email and see if we have anything. Okay, I do. I have a long hair and a short hair cat. Is there a way to control shedding even a little? Are there foods that help? They don't have any problems. Just wondering if you can reduce shedding.
Okay. No.
No.
The short answer is no. However, the long answer is there's lots of products that fake it. Deception is everywhere.
They'll tell you that it will.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but they're lying. I'm sorry. Mm. You do want the cat to be healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, if the skin is irritated, it will make the hair fall out.
Mm-hmm.
So either a food or other lifestyle change to make the fur glossy and healthy is good. But eventually that hair, no matter how glossy and healthy, is going to fall out.
I mean, our hair sheds.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? So why wouldn't theirs? They just have more of it.
Some of these short-furred dogs, you know, Labradors, they can produce enough hair to insulate a house.
I know.
Over time.
I was vacuuming, and every time I vacuum, within minutes... The vacuum is full of dog hair.
You say, well, this dog is
short-furred. I can make a pillow out of this.
Yeah, there shouldn't be any fur because it's short-furred, right?
How come we're not making pillows out of dog hair, vacuum dog hair?
I believe you can gather that up, particularly if it's a little bit longer than a Labrador, and you can get a sweater made out of it.
Really?
Yeah. Just check online for pet hair sweaters. And
it's the German Shepherd. He's the one that sheds. The pit bull, she's almost naked because her hair's so short. But,
right.
You know, anyway. That's that story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay, well.
We covered quite a lot today.
Yeah, I was talking a lot, but that's what I'm supposed to do for this hour.
Right. And again, your phone at Blue Cross Vet is down right now.
Hopefully
it'll be fixed.
Promises have been made.
Yeah, and we'll get it back up. We're hoping today, right?
Yeah.
Like right after you leave. Hopefully we'll get that.
Yeah, well, if... Once again, promises were being made. If I don't see that truck within the next 2 or 3 hours, I'm going to go and rattle the cage more. But, you know, when the corporates make this firewall to make it virtually impossible to contact them or complain, and then they end with, oh, please give a survey.
A survey of your user experience.
Can I do a negative 100?
Right. But if it's an emergency, come by. Or if they really need to talk to you or pay their bill, just come in. Right.
Yes, but not for an emergency.
Oh, no, you know, no emergency.
We are open today, you know, but we don't normally do a lot of emergencies.
Okay.
Yeah, on the air, I don't want to give an emergency call because I might disappoint you.